Good morning. It is April the 5th, 2020. Today is Palm Sunday, Sunday of the Passion. The readings for today are in this order: the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 19, Isaiah 50, 4 through 9. The epistle is Philippians 2, 5 to 11. And the fourth one is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 1 through chapter 27, verse 66. I encourage you to take the time, even now. You can stop this audio tape and read those and come right back to this. I'd suggest maybe doing that right now. We make our beginning today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hear from the Gospel of John. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a joyful time that was, that day. Unfortunately, it would quickly devolve into something much more sinister, something much more tragic, and that is the betrayal of Jesus and his death on the cross. It's not what the disciples had thought would take place on this day. When the crowds were shouting, they were probably thinking, "All right, now it is here. The day we have been waiting for. The day when Jesus is acknowledged as the Messiah and King." But things didn't go according to their thoughts or those even of Jesus' enemies. In their mind, he was just a detractor from the more important things in life, such as their own place in history, their own authority, their own status as teachers of God's word. But here we have Jesus riding in to Jerusalem. A lot of pastors and commentators will talk about Jesus' triumphant entry or his victorious entry. I like to more think of it as his coronation entry. And I'll tell you why. A victory triumphant entry. One could say is getting the cart before the donkey. And in this case, Jesus is riding on a donkey, the foal of a colt. It's important to understand some things about donkeys, and maybe we'll get a nice picture of Jesus that I hope will kind of set the tone for the rest of this message. There are some interesting things that take place here, but let's first look back in history. over the years, the donkey has played an important role, we could say, in Israel and Judea. And not only in Israel and Judea, but other countries like Babylon. A king during a procession into his palace or his capital might be one in which he is seen as riding on a donkey. So, and two, here in Judea, Jesus comes riding on a donkey. He enters into Jerusalem, where once King David rode in on a donkey, for instance. So donkeys were used to carry kings. They were also used to carry a prophet. You know, a prophet of God would ride on a donkey. And an interesting thing, and we'll take a look at that analogy a little bit, is that the donkey during King David's time was used to carry his bread. The bread of King David was carried on the back of a donkey. And of course, all the imagery that is here for us, why not a horse? A horse was a symbol of a warrior kind of king, I guess we could say. A donkey, one could say, a man of peace would ride on a donkey. And kings of Israel were to be men of peace and not tyrants, for instance, or warlike, even though war inevitably comes to nations and one must at times fight. As much as war is abhorred, yet we find ourselves caught in circumstances. And circumstances were catching up with the disciples in this case, and they didn't quite get it why all these people were coming out and spreading palm branches on. Though it must have been pretty amazing, right? A pretty wonderful sight as people lay out their cloaks on the ground in front of Jesus and the donkey he was riding on and shouting out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." The great expectation in those words and a cry to God to save us, save us. You know, here comes Jesus lowly and riding on a donkey. The more important point, really, of Jesus riding on the donkey is it fulfills the words of Zechariah. Zechariah had prophesied these words once before, important words that were spoken. I'll read it to you, Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And those are words that are fulfilled here in today's gospel reading as Jesus enters into Jerusalem. Now, keep in mind, I mean, Jesus has been to Jerusalem many, many times, but this one is a special one. This is the one Jesus has been telling his disciples is the reason he came, that he was going to die and in 3 days be raised to life. And so this is special. And we are told that the crowds actually come out because of the message that is being spread about the resurrection of Lazarus, how Jesus raised this man who had been dead for 4 days to life. And then we hear, you know, the words of the Jewish leaders alarmed that the whole world is going out to him. And all these words also have implications for us today. I would say what we have here is a good picture of course, Jesus and his role as king prophet, and how he comes into Jerusalem lowly. Philip wrote, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by coming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." You know, this is the reason that Jesus rides really into Jerusalem. He rides as a man of peace. He's not this king that comes to strike down mortal enemies. No, no. He's come for something much larger, that actually salvation. The people are crying out, "God, save us. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." This is the one they're pinning their hopes on. He is the one that we pin our hopes on. For he is the one we have heard about, and we believe in that word. This is the king, and this is the reason he comes. Not to set up a coronation as a kingdom in this earth, but as a coronation for his rightful role as King of Kings, Son of God, Son of Man. And he does this so elegantly by riding on a donkey. What better way could this man ride in? I mentioned before that the donkey was also used to carry the bread of King David. Well, this is the bread that comes down from heaven, the bread of life. And he rides on the back of a donkey into the royal city. The bread of life, the manna from heaven. He is that which fills us up. And we are left not wanting. What a glorious gift God gives us in Jesus. So much we can miss when we perhaps jump too quickly to the crucifixion. Let's take a moment and celebrate this day just as the Jews did. Not only the Jews, but there were also Greeks among them on this day. And there were those who wanted to see Jesus. In fact, there are some that come up to Philip and said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip, he goes with Andrew, and they take these Greeks to see Jesus. But Jesus hasn't come to be king in this world. He hasn't come to be a bread king. He has come to be the bread of life. But his throne is not to be a plush chair in a palace, but it's going to be a cross. Rough hewn. And he will wear robes, but robes that are given to him in mockery. He will wear a crown, but a crown placed on his head in jest and in torment. But at this time, let us take a moment and join in the celebration and sing with the crowds, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." This is David's son. That is what the crowds also shout out. This is David's son, King David's son. Those words have implication. Those words speak of who he is. He is the Messiah. And they have heard what he has done, and they think to themselves, and they speak among themselves, "Should we expect anyone else?" And of course the answer is no. They are so thrilled. They are so excited. Here is the one who's been among them, preaching to them a message of peace, preaching to them the kingdom of God, preaching to them the day of salvation. This is the one who doesn't reject them but comes to them. He is the one who sits down at table and has dinner with them, has breakfast with them or lunch. He is the one who is not afraid to associate with those who are considered the outcast. For this is the reason he has come, to save us all. Now, when the Pharisees see what is taking place, they make a profound statement, because this is also the purpose that Isaiah records for us, that the suffering servant goes through what he does, and in the end, well, not really the end, but it appears that way, he dies. But the grave cannot hold him, and he's lifted up. And do you know what else? All kings, all peoples of all nations are drawn to him. And that's what the Pharisees say, and not even really realizing what they are saying. You see that you are gaining nothing. This is what they're saying to one another now, not to Jesus. Look, the world has gone after him. Well, they ain't seen nothing yet, baby. Because after he rises from the dead, yes, that message will spread. It will be the best message in the whole world. It will be the message that shows that what Christ has done for us has wiped away the slate. Our guilt is removed. God the Father declares us innocent in Christ's blood because of what he has done. Because he has been faithful. He has been obedient. That's what Philip says to the, St. Paul says to the Philippians. He says this about Christ. He humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant, and he was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Could it get any better than that? Yes, it can get better than that. Because the grave could not hold him, Jesus was raised, just as he had said, 3 days after dying. On the third day, he rose again to life. And that message has gone throughout the world. And see how the world has been coming after him ever since. Why? Because death is crushed. Sin and its punishment have been removed from us. We believe and we apprehend this grace and mercy that God has shed upon the world. I mentioned something else in here, the reason that the crowd came to Jesus, and it's important for us to always remember this too. And that is, the church grows by speaking God's word, by telling the world the good news. Now, we live in a crisis time, no doubt about that. I mean, one could debate the economics, perhaps, of COVID-19. One could debate, should we have just gone ahead and let it run its course? Of course, we would have no way of really understanding or knowing how many people might be affected by that. But we do live in a time when people are troubled and in a state of confusion. What better time, dear friends, could there be than to share this message of peace from God? And maybe God is allowing this virus to spread throughout the world as an opportunity that people may have to see the people of God at work serving them, or the people of God loving one another and loving them in the world. What better opportunity is there for us than showing our hope and our trust in our God, in our Lord Jesus? You know, the world has gotten to a point, it's so puffed up. The world has gotten to a point that it is so full of itself and thinks it can accomplish anything. You know, this isn't like a TV show like the old Star Trek series when some weird virus or disease would get hold of our intrepid Enterprise crew. But sure enough, before that hour was over, Dr. McCoy always found a cure. You know, we want a rapid cure, but we don't get one. We want one, but we don't get it. What we need to do, of course, is turn to the one who came into the world to save us, the Son of David, the King, riding on a donkey, lowly into Jerusalem to die. Because it's on that cross, really, that things have changed. We have no reason to fear sickness or death, for we have our victory in Him. We have our life, which will continue into eternity because of Him. When we close our eyes for the last time in this world, it's not the end. Life for those in Christ, excuse me, life for those in Christ goes on. Well, that's the message for today. I will be recording a sermon for Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, as well as an Easter message of joy and celebration that goes on and on and on. After all, every Sunday is a little Easter. God bless you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.